So today, we're opening up the toolkit to look at a very specific modality from the course, and it's known as the Sanctuary of Holy Energies.
And it is such a robust system. I mean, we've both spent a good amount of time integrating these frequencies into our own practices, you know, effectively road testing them. And I think we can both agree that there is a very specific, very grounded utility to them. This isn't just, you know, high level theory. These are like the wrenches and hammers for the spiritual work.
Absolutely. It's warm, yes. And it's spiritual, certainly. But it is also just immensely practical. And I think that's what practitioners are so often craving, not just another philosophy to sit with, but actionable frequencies.
Right.
When you're in the thick of a session, when a client is really stuck, or frankly, when you're navigating your own density, you need a frequency that does a specific job.
Exactly. And before we get into the specifics of each one, let's just frame the mechanism here for a second. When we talk about the Sanctuary of Holy Energies, what we're really discussing is a collection of five distinct high vibration energies.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they're associated with these powerful spiritual archetypes, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist, St. Peter, but we really need to look at this through the lens of energetic signatures.
That is the critical distinction.
It really
is. As practitioners, we understand that names are essentially, well, they're carrier waves. They carry vibration.
Yeah.
And the Course presents these names, not in a dogmatic or strictly religious sense, but as accessible, distinct, energetic frequencies. We're talking about these huge archetypal energies of revelation, of release, cleansing, manifestation.
Right.
If you get hung up on the theology, you completely miss the technology.
I love that phrasing, missing the technology, because that's exactly what this is. It's a technology of consciousness.
It is.
Yeah.
Whether you view these figures through a religious lens or a, you know, strictly energetic one, the frequency they carry in this modality is just undeniably potent for healing and for unblocking.
Mm-hmm.
It's described in the Course as bringing revelation, relief, and spiritual enlightenment. And those aren't just buzzwords. They represent very specific shifts in the subtle body.
Okay, so we're going to break down all five, and we are going to go deep into the application of each one, just to give you a bit of a roadmap of the terrain we're covering. First up, we have the energy of Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit, which really functions as the frequency of liberation. Second, we have the Gates of Eden, which deals with purpose and structural alignment. Third, Jesus Christ and Holy Wisdom, which is this incredible, dense energy of deep peace.
Yes.
Fourth is John the Baptist for renewal and cleansing, a real reset button. And then fifth, we have St. Peter for manifestation and building foundations.
It's a complete spectrum, isn't it?
If
you look at it holistically, it moves from the emotional relief of the heart through the alignment of the will into the peace of the mind, the cleansing of the field, and then finally into the physical building of a life in matter.
Yeah.
It's a whole journey.
It really is. Yeah. So let's not wait. Let's just dive in and unpack the first one. Energy number one, Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit.
Okay, so this is a heavy hitter to start with. And I mean that in the absolute best way. The signature of this energy is described essentially as a blessing. But functionally, for you as the practitioner, this is the energy of liberation.
And the visual that the Course gives us is just so evocative. It talks about the opening of holy wings, specifically like a dove. But let's move past the visual for a moment to the kinesthetic, the feeling. When you're running this energy, what is that sensation?
It's expansive.
Yeah.
It's really expansive. That dove metaphor isn't just a pretty image. It's a sensory description of how the energy moves through the biofield. It usually starts in the heart center, the high heart, really.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates this outward pressure, almost like your rib cage is expanding beyond its physical limits.
Mm.
It's about guiding the person toward enlightenment, sure. But in a session, it acts as a solvent.
A solvent. That's a really interesting word for it, because the Course is very specific here. It targets weights. These weights we carry on the chest, on the head, or in the heart.
Right. And let's dig into the mechanics of that weight for a second, because the Course isn't just talking about stress from your bad day at work. It's talking about displacement. It's this idea that our energetic body becomes a magnet for debris, other people's projections, societal panic, family trauma. I mean, we see this constantly.
I think one every day.
You have a client on the table, and they aren't just sad. They are physically compressed by data that does not belong to them.
It's that feeling of pressure, isn't it? Almost like a hydrostatic pressure on the chest. And what I find so fascinating in the text is the distinction it makes about what that weight actually is. It says, this energy removes burdens that were never truly yours.
That is the key.
Right.
That's the practitioner's insight right there. We all carry our own karma, our own lessons that we absolutely need to metabolize, but we also pick up so much environmental heaviness, ancestral heaviness.
Yeah.
And this energy is designed to recognize that. It's like it has its own intelligence and it says, wait a minute, this isn't mine. And it just lifts it. It acts as a discriminator frequency.
I have to share, when I was working with this energy recently, just, you know, on myself after a particularly dense week, that was the exact sensation. It wasn't just, oh, I feel better now. It was a sensation of decompression. Mm-hmm. It honestly felt like someone physically took a sandbag off my sternum. Mm-hmm. Like I had been holding a breath for years that I didn't even know I was holding.
And that leads right to that feeling of complete freedom that's mentioned in the course. It's that transition from the heaviness to what they call metaphorical flight. Mm-hmm. You literally can't fly if you were carrying rocks in your pockets that belong to your great-grandfather, or, you know, rocks that belong to the collective anxiety of the 24-hour news cycle.
So true. And the Course says this energy brings true freedom because it liberates you from hindrances in the physical world, the spiritual world, and your inner world. It's just, it's so comprehensive.
It is deeply emotional. And I think that's why it's so often paired with the heart center in the descriptions. It's the energy of relief, pure and simple. And for a client, that relief can manifest as tears, but not tears of sadness. It's tears of release. The body is literally liquefying the tension and letting it go.
Okay, so let's talk application, because we promised this would be a lesson on how to use this stuff. When do you, as a practitioner, reach for this specific frequency?
The Course gives some really beautiful, very human examples. It suggests using it in the middle of the night when you're tired and just seeking some peace, or in grief, but also in the most mundane moments. You're washing dishes, you're sitting alone.
There was one specific scenario in the text that really stuck with me. It describes a mother. She is completely exhausted by caretaking. Her body is tired, her spirit is tired, and she just pauses for a single moment to breathe in this peace.
That example resonates with so many people because it is so real. It's not a monk on a mountaintop. It's a mother who is likely sleep deprived, maybe feeling completely overwhelmed by the constant needs of others.
Right.
The energy doesn't require her to leave her life to go find peace. It meets her right there. It says, I see you. Let me take this weight for just a moment. It creates this tiny micro sanctuary right there in her kitchen.
And it also mentions a young person who's having an identity crisis. You know, trying to make sense of who they are in the world.
Yes. Feeling seen. That's the core of it, I think. When you're in an identity crisis, you feel fragmented. Your field is just scattered all over the place. This energy is cohesive. It pulls you back together. It reminds you that you belong to something greater. It gently pulls all those scattered pieces of the self back into the center line.
So how does it actually work? I mean, mechanistically, what's the trigger?
Surrender.
Surrender. That is a loaded word for a lot of people.
It is, I know. But in energy mechanics, surrender isn't about giving up. It's about ceasing the resistance.
Mm.
The Course is very clear on this. It requires a moment of surrendering the need to carry everything on your own. It's admitting, I cannot hold this anymore. And in that raw honesty, the energy enters. It's like the wings can only open up because you finally stopped trying to hold your arms tight around yourself to keep it all together.
Wow. So for everyone listening, the takeaway for this first energy, Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit, is that this is your go-to tool for deep emotional relief, especially when the burden is heavy, and specifically when that burden feels like it isn't even yours to carry in the first place.
Correct. It is the exhale you've been waiting for.
Okay, so let's follow that energetic logic. You've had the exhale, the weight is gone, you are lighter, but often when we clear that much space, we can feel a bit unmoored, you know, there's a void. And that brings us perfectly to the second frequency in the system, the Gates of Eden.
Now, this shifts the vibe entirely. If that first energy was warm and enveloping and relieving,
mm-hmm.
the Course describes this one as crisp, white, gentle.
Crisp. I love that word for an energy. It just suggests clarity, precision.
It does. It's a very high vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And the key function here is life purpose and integrity. So it comes in and fills that void we just created, but it fills it with structure.
The mission.
And I want to be very, very clear here because I think practitioners see clients struggling with this all the time.
Yeah.
The Course frames this idea of mission in a very grounded way.
Right.
It's not necessarily about quitting your job to become a guru or, you know, moving to an ashram.
Right. It specifically mentions doctors, teachers, bakers.
Exactly. It says this energy elevates whatever role you're currently in to a sacred level.
Mm.
It supports your earthly task. So let's imagine a client who is a baker. They come to you feeling burnt out, feeling like their work is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
You invoke the Gate of Eden energy. Now you aren't suddenly making them dream of leaving the bakery. You are infusing the act of baking with the highest possible vibration. The bread becomes holy. The service becomes a sacrament.
That is so empowering, because so many people feel like their spiritual life over here and their work life over there are two completely different things.
What's that?
This energy just bridges that gap. It creates a unified field where the work is the prayer.
It acts as a filter. That's how I visualize it when I'm in a session. The Course says it helps you identify and release what no longer serves your path. So if you're in a job and or a role, and you bring this crisp white energy into it, one of two things is going to happen.
Okay.
Either you will find a new, profound depth of purpose right where you are, or it will become very, very clear that it is time to move on. The friction will become unbearable because the frequency of the job just doesn't match the frequency of the energy you're now holding.
It brings this powerful awareness to your true path. It just illuminates the delta between where you are and where your soul actually wants to be.
And it demands honesty. That's a huge word in this section of the course. Integrity, acting in the name of goodness.
Mm-hmm.
It's an energy that it sort of straightens the spine, ethically speaking. It asks you point blank, are you out of alignment?
So practically speaking for our daily life, when do we use this one?
Morning. The text suggests using this when the day is open and full of potential. It sets a trajectory for the whole day. If you wake up and you just take a moment to invoke the gates of Eden, you're essentially saying, today I will walk in truth. Today, my actions will be aligned with my highest purpose.
It's like calibrating your instrument before the concert begins.
That's a great way to put it. It's like setting the compass before you start walking. It aligns you with your true north.
Mm.
It's also fantastic for decision making. Before a big meeting, before you start a new project, you just pause, you call in the gates of Eden, and you ask, is this true? Is this aligned? And you act from that crisp white clarity rather than from, you know, confusion or fear.
And for us practitioners who are so often creators as well, maybe we're writing or making things or crafting workshops, it mentions using this to bring a sense of reverence to the process.
Yes. Turning the ordinary into the sacred. That is the ultimate takeaway for the Gates of Eden. It elevates the mundane. It reminds you that your mission is happening right now in whatever you are doing, as long as you are doing it with integrity. It sanctifies the doing.
Beautiful. So we have liberation and we have purpose. But purpose can be stressful. Striving for integrity can be hard work. We need a container for that struggle. Which leads us to energy number 3, Jesus Christ and holy wisdom.
Now we are moving into the realm of the eternal. This is a big shift. The Course describes this energetic signature as eternal divination. It is the ultimate invocation of peace.
Peace is a word we use a lot in this industry, but this feels denser. Or maybe vaster.
Vaster is absolutely the right word. This energy addresses the fundamental split that causes so much human suffering. The difference between our temporary physical life and our eternal soul. It's all about perspective.
The Course has this fascinating concept here that I just love called the wise struggle. Can we unpack that? Because usually we're trying to help our clients avoid struggle.
Oh, I love this concept so much. It acknowledges that the earthly realm is a place of tests. It's a school. Challenges are inevitable. We aren't bypassing the struggle. We're not pretending everything is fine when it isn't. But it says, and this is the key, a wise struggle is a peaceful one.
A wise struggle is a peaceful one. Wow, that just stops you in your tracks, doesn't it?
It really does. It means you can be in the midst of a tremendous difficulty, a health crisis, a financial worry, a divorce, and yet because you are connected to the holy wisdom, you understand that your soul is untouched. Your soul is safe. Your soul is in paradise, even if your body is stuck in traffic or lying in a hospital bed.
So this energy is the bridge. It connects the messy human experience with the soul's deep knowing.
Right. It's the difference between knowing wisdom intellectually, like, you know, reading a quote on Instagram and nodding along, and actually feeling the spark of God within you. This energy activates that feeling physically. It settles the entire nervous system into a state of deep, profound trust.
The application examples for this one in the course are very moving. It talks about crisis management, you know, when you have to make these huge choices that affect other people.
Or the caregiving context again. There is a specific mention of a nurse caring for someone at the end of life. I mean, think about that threshold. You are literally standing between the physical world and the eternal world.
Mm-hmm.
This energy, holy wisdom, provides the strength to bring comfort because it understands both sides of that veil.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you, the practitioner, to stand in the realm of death without being consumed by fear.
It also talks about micro moments, Gently watering a plant or sitting in the sun.
That's the grounding aspect of true wisdom, isn't it? It's not just some high-flown philosophy. It's recognizing the eternal in the simple act of nurturing a plant. It's seeing the miracle in the sunlight on your face. When you connect to holy wisdom, you realize that sunlight is the same light that fuels the entire cosmos.
I love the suggestion to use this when you're walking in nature or looking up at the stars. It's all about perspective, isn't it?
It is. It's the zoom out button for your consciousness. When the world feels chaotic, when the news is bad, when your personal life is messy, Jesus Christ and holy wisdom is the anchor. It reminds you, I am eternal. This is temporary. I can struggle wisely. It gives you the capacity to hold the paradox of being human.
So the takeaway there is clear. This is your grounding anchor for deep soul-level peace.
Yes, exactly.
All right, moving on to number four. This one really feels like a shift in gears. We've had peace, we've had purpose, we've had a relief, but sometimes things just get stagnant. Sometimes we just need to scrub the floors. Enter John the Baptist.
Oh, it's a big shift. If the previous energies were about peace and alignment, this is about action, change. The vibe is described as calming yet strong, but don't let the word calming fool you. This is powerful stuff.
And the key function is renewal, cleansing, rebirth.
It's the baptism archetype. Now, the course clarifies, and this is really important for our listeners, this does not replace religious baptism, but energetically, it is a massive reset button for the self. It's the shower after the mud run.
Then it mentions protection too, which is interesting.
Yes, protection against harmful spiritual influences.
Hmm.
Which makes perfect sense, right? When you clean something, when you purify it, you are also sealing it against contamination. A clean field is a strong field.
Let's talk about the backstory as a metaphor. The course spends a bit of time on the story of John, living in the desert, wearing camel hair, eating locusts and honey. Why is that relevant to the energy work we do?
It's absolutely crucial because it sets the tone of the frequency. John didn't live in the palace, he lived in the wild. He stripped away everything that was unnecessary. The energy of John the Baptist is an energy of simplicity. It cuts through the noise. It's raw. It's honest. It's the energy of the desert, vast, open, and incredibly clarifying.
The singular focus.
Exactly. It's the energy of preparation, prepare the way. It's all about clearing out the clutter, mental, emotional, physical, so that something higher and newer can enter. You can't bring the new furniture in until you move the old furniture out. This energy is the moving crew.
And there's that dynamic of humility in there too, John always pointing to something greater than himself.
That's such a powerful lesson for us as practitioners. We are conduits. We point to the healing. We are not the source of it. And that humility is cleansing in itself. It removes the ego from the healing equation, which, as we all know, is often the biggest block to effective work.
Okay, now practical application. The course is very, very specific here about one particular element, water.
You cannot talk about this archetype without talking about water. The advice is to pair this energy with physical water. But I want to elevate this for the practitioners listening. We all know hydrotherapy is a staple. We all know water holds memory.
Right.
But what the course suggests here is different. It's using the physical water as a scalar carrier for the John the Baptist frequency.
So it's not just about taking a bath.
No, it's about taking a bath with specific intent. Imagine you have had a terrible day. You had an argument. You feel slimy with negative emotion. You know that feeling where your biofield just feels
The
sticky?
residue.
The residue. That's it. So you go to the sink. You turn on the cold water. You mentally invoke the energy of John the Baptist. You project that frequency into the water that's coming out of the tap. And then you wash your hands. You aren't just removing physical dirt. You are imprinting a frequency of desert asceticism and radical reset onto the water molecules right before they touch your skin. You are literally washing your aura.
It's the energy of the clean slate.
It is. It's for new beginnings, starting a new job, starting a new way of thinking, or just recovering from a fight. It's saying, that is done, I am clean, I begin again.
I think we all need that frequency more often than we admit. We tend to carry the residue of Tuesday right into Wednesday morning.
Daily. Truly, every single time you wash your hands, it's an opportunity for a micro reset.
Okay, that brings us to the final energy in the sanctuary. We've cleared the field. We are clean. Now what? Number five, St. Peter.
The rock.
The rock. The energetic signature is described as a white, powerful force, and the function is manifestation and foundations.
This is where spirit meets matter. This is the culmination. We've gone from the high flight of the Holy Spirit through the alignment of Eden, the wisdom of the soul, the cleansing of the Baptist, and now Now we have to build something. We have to bring it all down to the earth plane.
The course talks about the rock metaphor, building a solid foundation. If the foundation is good, the roof will be strong.
It's a very architectural energy. It's about the incarnation of good intentions. It's not enough to mean well. St. Peter's energy is about doing well. It's about using your hands and your mind to create physically in this world. It's the energy of the builder, the mason, the gardener.
I really appreciate that the course touches on the archetype of Peter the man, because you look at the source material, he was not perfect.
Far from it. And that is exactly why he is such a perfect archetype for this energy. He was a fisherman. He was impulsive. He tried to walk on water and sank because he got scared. He denied knowing Jesus 3 times when the pressure was really on.
But he was forgiven, and he became the leader, the foundation of it all.
That is the practitioner lesson right there. This energy isn't about perfection. Perfection is static. This energy is about resilience. It's about getting it wrong, sinking, getting pulled back up, and then getting right back to work. It's about the grit that is required to manifest anything real.
So how do we use this one in our daily lives?
You use this whenever you are building.
Literally building.
Literally and metaphorically. Are you building a business? Call on St. Peter. That's a foundation. Writing a book, St. Peter. Planting a garden, St. Peter. It's the energy that helps structures hold their shape against the natural entropy of the world.
I love the phrase domestic magic that they use in relation to this.
Yes. Sweeping a floor with care. Baking bread, not just for the purpose of eating, but for the purpose of sharing it with others. It's about solidity. It's about making the home a fortress of good energy.
And relationships, too. Entering a marriage or a new friendship with the intention of trust. That's a foundation, isn't it?
Exactly. You are laying the first stone. And you want that stone to be St. Peter energy. Strong, resilient, capable of weathering any storm. You are choosing not to build on sand.
So the big takeaway here is this is the energy for making things real and making them last.
Precisely. It turns the ethereal into the concrete.
Okay, so we have these 5 incredible frequencies, a complete system. But I want to spend some real time now on the how-to, because as peers, we know that the theory is useless without the technique. And I have to say, I appreciate that the course emphasizes simplicity and activation.
Thank goodness for that. We do not need complex rituals here. We don't need bells and incense, though those are always nice. The course is very clear. It's a mental statement.
That's it. Just saying the name.
That's the core of it, yes.
Yeah.
But let's nuance that a little. It's not just saying the name like you're reading off a grocery list. It's a resonant invocation. When you mentally state St. Peter or Gates of Eden, you are plucking a string in the universal consciousness. You need to hold the intention of that specific frequency as you do it.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's break down the methods. Method 1 is hands-on healing. Walk us through a session.
Okay, so your client is on the table. You've done your intake. You feel a blockage in, say, their solar plexus. You discern that this needs Gates of Eden for alignment. You place your hands on the area. You center yourself. And mentally, you state Gates of Eden.
And what happens in your hands? What should you be feeling for?
You wait for the walk-in. And every practitioner listening knows this feeling. It might feel like a sudden warmth, a tingling, or a kind of magnetic pull. Yeah. That is your signal that the frequency is running. And you just hold it until the sensation shifts or dissipates. You are the jumper cables. The energy is the current.
And method 2 is meditation. This is more for our own self-care.
Yes. For you. You sit comfortably, close your eyes, activate the name, Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit, and then you just sit. You be the vessel 15 minutes or as long as you like. You let the energy wash over you as passive reception. You're allowing the energy to come in and rewrite your field.
And distant healing. This is huge for so many of our listeners who work remotely.
The mechanism here is essentially quantum entanglement. You cup your hands together, creating a physical vessel right in front of you. You imagine the client, or even a specific situation, inside that space between your palms.
Okay.
You activate the name. And you will feel the energy start to flow between your hands. You just hold that space until it feels complete. It's standard practice for most of us, but when you load in these specific frequencies, it becomes incredibly targeted.
It's just amazing to see the synergy of the system when you look at it as a whole. It's not just a random collection of tools.
Not at all. It really covers the full spectrum of the human need, doesn't it? You have emotional relief with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You have purpose with Eden. You have mental peace with wisdom. You've got the reset with John. And you have the physical build with Peter.
It's a complete toolkit for the soul.
It is. It's a sanctuary. And that's the final synthesis, really. The sanctuary isn't a building you go to. It's a safe space that's created within you, the practitioner. You carry the cathedral inside your own biofield.
These tools are there to help us navigate this messy human experience with grace, and of course, to help our clients do the same.
Exactly. At the end of the day, we're all just walking each other home. And these frequencies just make that walk a little lighter, a little clearer, and a little more solid under our feet.
I want to leave our listeners with a thought to chew on. As you go about your week, just try to strip away the noise for a moment, strip away the anxiety, and ask yourself, which of these five frequencies is the missing piece of my foundation right now?
That's the question. Are you carrying a weight that isn't yours? Do you need a clean slate? Do you need to build something solid? It's about diagnosing your own spirit.
And I'd really encourage you to try the water technique with John the Baptist this week, or maybe the foundation mindset with St. Peter. Just pick one. Play with it. Be empirical about it. See how it shifts your reality.
Test it. Be the scientist of your own spiritual experience. And then report back to your own soul what you find.
Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast lesson. It's been a real pleasure exploring this terrain with you. Keep doing your beautiful work in the world.
Thank you. Be well.
Until next time.